whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will remain in me, and I will remain in him. You know, Jesus says some things that are really hard to hear. And this is one of them. This sounds like cannibalism. I mean, right out, straight cannibalism, eat my flesh. And that's exactly how his first hearers heard it. The Jews started to quarrel among themselves. What's he telling us? To eat his flesh? Drink his blood? How can he say this? It's completely beyond our comprehension. And you'll notice that John the Evangelist here, he doesn't have Jesus respond to that question. What he does, he has him respond to the deeper truth, that in fact it is beyond their understanding. And so he says, you need to remain in me. Stay with me. Focus on me. I am the one who will give eternal life. And remain always in me. This harkens back to the earlier part of this gospel where we hear that Jesus is, I am the vine and the branch. And we are the branches. And we are called to remain in him. He is the vine. To remain, and in that passage, the word remain is used no less than 14 times as a reminder of what we're meant to do, is to always remain in Jesus Christ. It's to remain because then later on in this gospel, he will go on to say that Jesus is the truth. I am the life, I am the truth, and I am the way. And it's a reminder for us that if we want eternal life, then we remain focused and remain in Christ and receive the sustenance from Christ to himself, because he is the truth, the way, and the life. There are times when it's hard to hear other things as well, truths that are very hard to hear. And this week as a Catholic Church, we heard them from the report, the allegations of abuse in Pennsylvania. And it's very hard to hear. Thousands of children at the hand of over 300 priests, over 70 years of neglect and abuse, time and time again. These priests were organized and would give a victim a golden cross to wear so that other victimizers could know who they were, tagged for abuse. And these are in the files of the diocese. These are the men who we asked to lead our church. This is so difficult to hear. It is morally reprehensible and criminal. And yet, they've never been held accountable. It is so shocking. It is appalling. It is disgusting to read. And as a man of the cloth, as a man of this institution, it deeply saddens me that our church, yet again, is being ridiculed, and rightly so. Because we were meant to be better. How could bishops move when they knew what this man had done from one to the next? And then they buried all this in archives as if nobody should ever know. The truth needs to be let loose. And this report not only needs to happen for the Pennsylvania diocese, that's just one diocese. One diocese. What about the other 49 dioceses or 49 states in the Union? What there? It is shocking and is deeply disturbing, and I am ashamed of our church that the men of the cloth would do this to children, to our children. Thousands identified, and how many more? Countless thousands were unidentified, who didn't have the courage to come forward, who couldn't because they were so broken. But as deeply as it affects me, and as priests of the church, and as you, I know many of you are hurt and offended by this, but we cannot stop there. We must identify and stand with the victims. These people who have not had their voices heard for decades. For decades, and nobody would listen to them. Their lives ruined, turned upside down, never to make ever sense again. We must stand with them, and we must stop, and we must insist that the truth be known everywhere. Not just in Pennsylvania. In every state in the Union, we must be the advocates for these victims. We must stand with them and demand that the truth be known, who knew not what and where. And if every bishop in the United States has to resign, then they so should do. It is not right that they stand and hide information from people. We need the truth. The victims need justice, and that justice can only come when the truth is known. Jesus is the truth, and he would stand with the victims. And we must be advocates of the abolition of the statute of limitations. There must be nowhere you can hide when you have done that. It is morally reprehensible and criminal, and they must be tried for that. Whether they aided and abetted it, or whether they themselves did it, there must be justice. And we must join other movements promoting that cause. And if we have to sell our church and have to be out in the parking lot doing church, then so be it. The victims need truth and they need justice. There can be no future church without the truth because Jesus remains in the truth. I'm sorry for the families who have their children to be baptized today, but I could not preach on this morally reprehensible actions of our church. The future of our church relies on us standing with Jesus in the truth and with the victims in the truth. There will be no future unless we do that. And so we must stand with victims, and we must stand with them publicly, and we must stand with them loudly and demand actions from the leadership of our church. It's enough. We cannot do this anymore in any state in the Union anymore. It must stop now. And so we must stand with those whose lives have been destroyed. They were once children, and they will never, ever get that childhood back. They were damaged beyond recognition. We must hear their stories. We must listen to them and acknowledge their pain and stand in the truth and say the Lord will heal, but only when the truth is known. So today we come begging forgiveness from the Lord, forgiveness from the people of God, and we come to the table to be nourished. Ashamed as we might be, we must stand with the victims. We must claim no more privileges. We must stand with them who need our attention and demand the truth and justice for them.